Look, we've all seen it. Somebody shops while they're on their work computer when they're on the clock, or they take really long lunches, or they borrow supplies, take home a pack of Post-it notes. The workplace does not always foster the most ethical behavior. But new research from the University of Georgia shows it can be worse than that. Many employees lie on their timesheets and even trash their coworkers in order to get ahead. With me to discuss this study is Marie Mitchell, a professor of management in the Terry College of Business at UGA. Hi, Marie.
Hello.
And also with us is Karen Rommelfanger, a professor in the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences at Emory University. Hi, Karen.
Hello.
So, Marie, let's talk about sort of the limitations of the study, right? What questions was it intended to answer?
Well, my colleagues and I were very interested in understanding what workplace cheating behavior would be. There's been quite a few studies about cheating, but primarily those studies occur in labs and experiments. And they're very informative, but what we wanted to know is what are employees seeing? What are they actually doing in organizations? And so we conducted a study that asked employees across the nation about just give us various examples of behaviors you have actually seen at work. And over 500 individuals gave us examples, and we kind of culled those down into various categories of cheating behavior. About more than 50% of those examples were cheating where the individual is engaging in unethical behavior, self-interested behavior that alters their own work behavior, such as falsifying timesheets. And 30% were behaviors where individuals were cheating by undermining their coworkers for self-gain. The rest of them didn't really fall into what we believed were a category of cheating behavior, although they were definitely bad work behaviors. They're called deviant behaviors, where individuals are basically surfing the web. And in that respect, while it's bad, it's not cheating behavior because it wasn't really entered into for a purpose of self-gain. At least we didn't think so. So from that point, we decided to really unpack what's the reasons why employees are engaging in these behaviors. And so
And on that, to interrupt you for just a second, any of our listeners can call in with things that you've seen as well. Some of them don't entirely qualify. Jane Moore tweets this: "Hands down, for me, the worst thing she's seen was a coworker in a tiny two-person office who flossed her teeth at her desk." That's gross, Jane, but I don't think that's unethical.
No.
So, Karen, when we're talking about why people do this, is there a difference in the way we view behavior at the workplace as opposed to the way we view behavior just in our regular lives?
Well, I think in this context, well, first, by definition, cheating means you're breaking the rules,
Right.
right? So the rules in various contexts are different. So in this case, I think there's a discussion of, or there's an assumption, and they're defined in the study as what is considered cheating, and it's a personal a violation of what is, I think, in the paper states of global norms. And also, I think that the I've seen Dr. Mitchell also speak about a violation of rules, legal rules.
Oh, right.
I actually disagree with the first one because I think breaking a rule or something that is legally deemed doesn't necessarily have to be unethical. For example, slavery was legal for a while, so I don't think
I
that's
see.
sufficient.
Meaning that in your mind, the law is not always the best arbiter of ethics.
No.
Well, then let's go back to the study, Marie. And we also have things like, this I think would qualify. Deanna Garcia tweets: "When I worked at Starbucks, a shift manager would routinely take whole gallons of milk, mugs, glasses, and parts of gift sets. It was often just two of us, so to cover my butt, I snitched." And in this particular case, not only it sounds like she's describing someone who's literally stealing, right, which is unethical, but it sounds like she's saying that she's told on this employee because she was trying to save herself also, which kind of fits into this the some of the motivations you discovered.
Well, I believe she's probably worried that her employer is going to blame her for the
Right.
behavior. So, in that respect, I wouldn't consider what she was doing as unethical, but it's definitely self-protective. In the study, what we find is that the reason why employees cheat is because of performance pressure. The idea that employees believe that they have to raise their performance efforts because they're linked to significant consequences, such as losing their job. And that creates and elicits self-protective emotions, such as anger and cognitions, which give them a really strong focus. So that whole need for self-protection is pretty innate to humans. And so it's not surprising that that particular employee wanted to protect herself also.
Right.
But for different reasons than we found in our study for cheating behavior.
And there have been some pretty headline-grabbing cheating examples here in Georgia. We had the Atlanta Public Schools. Another international example is the Volkswagen scandal of 2015. Here's author Jack Ewing explaining to CBS why Volkswagen ended up doing what they did.
They were desperate to get back market share in the United States, and the way they thought they would do that was by selling diesels as an environmentally friendly technology.
Yeah.
But the engineers realized that they couldn't make the cars compliant with the U.S. rules, and so they came up with this cheat. I think they probably meant it as a short-term stopgap, but then it became a habit.
And Karen, this is interesting to me because Marie's talking about self-protective behavior. And to what extent do we justify unethical behavior so that we can accept it as not being unethical? Do you understand what I'm saying? Something which would maybe objectively be unethical, changing the technology on a car. But we, because we have fears of losing our jobs or pressures, we justify that. Is that pretty common?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think self-justification and rationalizing is often how we engage in unethical behavior. I mean, there are really two main contributors to unethical behavior. And one is cognitive load. So stress, like performance pressure, can be one of them. And this is supported by neuroscience and psychological literature. And another is environment. And so I think an important point here is that the unethical behavior we see is more a canary in the coal mine situation. It's a description, it's really indicating a systemic problem of organizations that value products more than people and productivity more than the people they employ. And I think in these cases, you reap what you sow. I mean, this is the environment that is cultivating the cheating behavior.
And that's actually echoed by this comment from Mel Fugate, professor of business at Southern Methodist University. This sounds like exactly what he's talking about.
It affects performance in many ways. So if it affects your performance as an individual employee, that obviously affects the performance of your coworkers, your boss, your unit, your larger organization. And again, if the incidence is so high, this is happening in many places every day.
And Marie, that's an interesting question, is to what extent workplace culture contributes to either supporting or discouraging unethical behavior. How does a workplace create a culture that doesn't encourage that?
Yeah, Mel's absolutely right. There's quite a bit of research that has demonstrated the importance of climate and culture and organizational infrastructures. And what's unfortunate is that when organizations, managers within them, and employees succumb to these types of pressures to continuously compete, sustain profitability, they often turn a blind eye on how those things get done. And it gets normalized within organizations that employees who are new sometimes often don't know or unaware of the steps that have been taken out that are appropriate to maintain their behavior in an ethical manner. And so it does very much happen to where organizations get caught up. And the individuals within them perpetuate the unethical behavior, and it's a vicious cycle.
And it's difficult, Karen, I would imagine, to create a balance between trying to motivate people by healthy competition as opposed to taking that too far to where it encourages unethical behavior. Are there ways that a manager or a CEO can do that, can maintain that balance?
Mm-hmm. I think there's modeling. You know, there's a modeling of demonstrating the broader values of creating a good within an organization. there is a showing that you value the individuals that you work with. I think in these cases where we see cheating, like that are discussed in the paper, these are situations where people are trying to regain some sense of autonomy, regain some sense of control, that they're valued. And I would even say that in some ways it's more rewarding than participating as kind of more of a robot or in service of an employer.
And Marie, did you end up being surprised by the results of this research?
No. They're pretty much supported by theory. I have done follow-up work on performance pressure, investigating it across time, day to day, at multiple times a day. Because let's face it, I don't cheat. I am under pressure. There's a lot of individuals who are under pressure and they don't cheat. And so it was really important for me and my colleagues to kind of unpack what really triggers one employee to cheat and to engage in bad behavior where another doesn't. And as Karen noted, there are stressors that happen. And so day to day, employees handle stress differently. And the critical thing that we're finding for managers to focus on is diffusing the threat associated with performance pressure. Because what research has also found, as you alluded to, is if you don't give any kind of little nudge or pressure to employees, their productivity can stagnate yeah. too. So it leaves employees in a really prickly position and managers. How do you pressure without eliciting bad behavior? And so the critical thing that we have found is to get employees to see it as challenging, to provide them the right infrastructures to where they can learn in an appropriate manner, be challenged
without
it.
Without it being encouraged to engage in unethical behavior.
Exactly.
That's Marie Mitchell, professor of management in the Terry College of Business at UGA. And Karen Rommelfanger is a professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences at Emory University. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.